who are you? No, for real, like seriously, who are you? No, I'm just wondering because I find that many people don't know who they are. So I want to ask you, who are you? If you do not know who God created you to be, and you are not operating in the fashion, the manner, or the full capacity of who God created you to be, then who are you?
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
Hey, so I feel like I say I am excited every single time for every single ride, but this ride in particular just touches my heart. But before I jump into this ride and the discussions that I want to have with you, I just want to do some little housekeeping. I need you to communicate with me. I want to make sure that every time I'm having these rides, that you are benefiting from them. And if there are areas and opportunities in your life that I can be of a better vessel and of a better support system, I want you to reach out to me. It is very important that we do not miss out on what God is trying to do in our lives. And I just don't want to see myself be elevated and you not elevate with me. We are in these rides together every single Thursday, and I want to make sure we are putting our heel on the devil's neck. If you a man, putting your boot on his neck, because ain't no way he's going to have the final say in what God is doing for us. So anyways, I just want to share with you something. I know we're not supposed to share our projects and the things that we're working on because in a weird way, you put it out there in the atmosphere and it challenges it. But the reality is that I don't need no enemy to slow me down. I am okay and good with doing that myself. So I'm telling you this so that it is on record and I'm being held accountable of it, but I am working on a book and it is so beautiful. It's been super emotional for me as well because I feel that it's bringing out things about me and about my past that I never really took into great consideration to understand how all of those different stages in my life formed who I am today as a person and what God is calling me to do and what my specific will in the Lord is. All right, trigger warning. I shared this before in one of my previous rides, but when I was in fourth grade, around 8 years old, I was molested. And it was the first time in my life that I realized that love could be taken away from you, or that love was something that people were searching for so much that they were willing to rob you of it. And from that age, I always found myself so troubled when people would draw near to me or when people would take an interest in me. So what I ended up doing is building a shell. I ended up building an attitude and I started to try to make my outer appearance so hard that people wouldn't see what God had placed inside of me. And it resulted in me having a very difficult, you know, adolescent years because I was always trying to figure out how am I supposed to be who I am, who I know is so natural to me, and actually survive in this world where it's seemingly evil. It takes advantage of you and it spits you out and has no remorse. Where does charity fit in that gamut? I started to pick up all of these different characteristic traits and I started to talk loud and I started to be more boastful and I started to be argumentative. I started to become dramatic. So many things that were necessary for my survival. But once I got to a place in my life where those things no longer served the purpose that they once did, I started to question, who am I? Who am I? I'm not a person that likes to argue even if my discernment is on point. I'm not a person who likes to raise my voice because physically I get exhausted after an argument. I have to recover like 3 days. Like I went out and had tequila all night and I hate to argue because it's just not a good cost benefit analysis. But I would often find myself in situations where I would be lured into arguments and it would deplete me. So why was I doing those things? And another thing I did was said I would talk fast and I would talk aloud. And why did I do those things? Because I never felt heard. And it was important for me to get everything out quick, fast, and in a hurry in that moment where I would lose the opportunity to be heard. So as life continued to go, I picked up all these different traits and they formed who Charity was. And when I started to feel rejection coming back into my life at the surface, I had to sit back and ask myself, Why am I still battling with this fear of rejection? What is it? God has called me to be great, to be magnificent, to be powerful, but I still feel small. I still feel like I'm David slaying Goliath instead of being David the warrior who killed tens and thousands of men. You know, once you get to a point in your life, you can't keep operating like a child, and I no longer wanted to subject myself to the child in me, and I wanted to embrace who God actually called me to be because I was no longer surviving. Now I was thriving. And what did that look like? Interestingly enough, God sent me on a journey and is continuing to send me on a journey to discover what love means. Now, I thought that that was just to heal my rejection and to give me a full scope and understanding of what the opposite of rejection is. It's acceptance and self-love. But more than that, it was to show me who He created me to be. I don't have to be afraid of feeling unsafe, like people are going to try to take advantage of me because I am a good person, because I am a fun person, because I am a loving and kind person, that those were no longer things that I needed to be intimidated by, but that I should walk in because they come with power. People often ask, why do bad things happen to good people? It's because good people know how to continue doing good even when bad happens. There's a way that the darkness has a sense of jealousy and a sense of comparison to the light because the light has a way to thrive despite adversity. When you fall into the traps of darkness, it brings you down. But when you fall into the strength of light, it picks you up. So for me, I had to learn that Charity, you can't use these old traits, these old habits. Yes, you were allowed to use them because they were fitting for that moment, but now you need to operate in the fullness of who you are, and that means asking yourself, who are you? And I have come to the stage in my life right now where I understand that I am Charity. And Charity is love and God is love. That is who I am. I was just on the phone with one of my friends, Justin, before I started to do this recording, and I asked him, who are you, Justin? What's your one word? What would you say it is? He said, Justin is powerful. Wow. How amazing is that? I wouldn't necessarily call myself a powerful person because I truly believe that my strength comes from my ability to love, and the love that I have becomes infectious, and my vulnerability allows people to open up. And when they open up, I'm able to offer healing. So that is where my strength is at. But when he said his word powerful, it felt so strong because he understands who he is in God's eyes. He is a king of the Most High. He is royal. He has stature. He has a place in kingdomship. And when you start to understand who you are in Christ and who you are not in the world, then you start to work in a completely different conviction. You start to move differently, think differently, watch different things, hear different things, see different things. And I want us to deep dive in the different ways that we can unlock that full potential and understanding of who we are, or at least begin the journey of self-discovery. I truly believe that after this ride, you are going to be in a position to let go of some things you picked up on the way that were never meant for you. When the Bible says that the path is narrow, it's because you're only going to be taking what He gave you. What God gives us is light. It is not heavy. The reason why it's not heavy is because He carries the burden. So when you're going in a wide road, you are carrying the burden. When you walk in the Spirit and in this way that God has created you to be, you feel light. Even when it's heavy all around you, you feel light because you're constantly tossing your cares on Him. You're constantly tossing all of your worries and fears on Him. It doesn't mean that you don't have them. It just means daily you dump it back on Him so you can walk with so much more power, conviction, and focus in the world that you are in. I have come to learn that life is definitely a lot more challenging on a spiritual level than it is on a physical level. The bills that you have not paid, the job you cannot get, the house you do not own, and the man that you do not have absolutely no significance to what is happening in the spiritual realm. And I'm starting to feel led to honestly begin to explain more of my journey in that period of my life. And as I continue to walk in this newer season of my life to help those of you who feel a lot of conflict and confusion and don't understand what is going on in your life. What is God doing to me? Why does every door feel closed? Why is everything a challenge? Why am I always facing adversity? Why do I wake up unhappy? And I'm telling you, it's because you do not know who you are. You do not know who you are. And that's okay. Because when we came into this world, it was the responsibility of our parents to nurture us. But we sometimes put so much pressure on them to tell us who we are, who we were supposed to be, to give us legacy and to give us generational understanding. When in actuality, the people that we are born through are not necessarily the people who have to raise us or who can even give us the best opportunity to understand who we are. God is Yahweh. He is everything that you need Him to be. He is constantly making a way for you and being a provider. I had to sit back when I was in a conversation on Clubhouse and I said, why would I ever ask my man to make 100K? Why would I ever put that requirement on my husband for? I said, how could my husband ever compete with the God that I serve? As I stand today, I lack nothing in my life. Why would I want my husband to enter into my life and feel jealous because God is my provider? That is one thing God has always been to me, is my provider. I cannot allow a man to take over that position because that is what God does so kindly and so compassionately. Why would I want you to compete with that instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to share with you what God is doing for me in my life and you can add value to that in His kingdom. Sometimes we get things wrong because we're trying to force understanding in the physical set of understanding that the way God thinks is not the way we think. So when we get a situation in front of us, like the question I proposed to you, who are you? Who are you? The first thing you have to do is write it down. Write it down and say, I am this person, I am that, good or bad, ugly. Just be honest with yourself. And then when you're honest with yourself, start reversing the words around. Start reversing the words around. You will start to see a different version of yourself that God created and not the one that the enemy has told you every single day that you are. We battle against our flesh because our flesh is so heavily involved in the natural that our spirit doesn't get the space to live fully within us. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys a story really quickly, and I'm going to be very broad about this, but I want you to read this. It's in 1 Samuel. I want you to read this. It's 9 and 10, but just go ahead and read the whole thing. Take your time, okay? Everyone has to take time to read the Bible. But this is the story about Saul. So Saul is sent to go and look for donkeys because, child, these donkeys done ran away. So he's out there with one of his servants or one of his, you know, people in the kingdom, and they're out there looking for these donkeys. And if he does not bring these donkeys back home, he is going to have some situations in the house. So he's like, you know what? What are we going to do? We can't find the donkeys. Let's just go home. Like, just forget about this. Like, you know, getting very frustrated. And the servant said, no. There's actually a seer. There's a man up here at this place where we can go and ask him where the donkeys are at. They go up to that place and they're like, hey, we're looking for our donkeys. We heard there's a guy here that can help us. And that is when Samuel said, oh, no, come Saul. We've been waiting for you. Don't worry, your donkeys are okay, but I have something else to tell you. At that moment, Saul is being anointed, okay? He is now receiving the oil in which he is going to become the king, okay? Now, Saul was a very interesting king because it wasn't that God wanted his people to have a king. They asked for a king. There are two type of people in this world. Those who are chosen and those who luck up because a need just happened to be there. And God is the God who supplies all of our needs. So when we cry out for things, he actually gives it to us, even if it isn't necessarily the way he wants it to be. If enough people cry out, he will listen. Hence the pandemic. It doesn't always come the way that we want it to be. But when enough people cry out, he will show up, okay? So now Saul becomes the king. And I sit back and I wonder, well, when did Saul lose his oil? Saul lost his oil when he became disobedient, when God told him to go and start a particular war. And he told him to make sure you burn everything, all the jewelry, all the materials, all the cows, and all that good stuff. But the soldiers ended up keeping a portion of the goods for themselves. They brought that back into their kingdom,
means of it started eating and feasting on the enemies.
Because the light has a way to thrive.
Feasting on the enemies' appetite. Okay, feasting on the enemies' food. Feasting on the enemies' jewels.
And it's strange that people can have everything they want and they still will go and eat from the enemy's plate. It just doesn't really make sense sometimes. Because our flesh desires a multitude. That's why it's really important for us to have dominion, because we could step out of the will of God for no good reason. How can you be an anointed king with power, control, and everything you want, and you go and get 10 Lamborghinis and you own 50?
That is who I am.
It doesn't add up. But this is why I always say it's really important that we read our word so we can be able to use it as a check system to our flesh when we're getting out of order. So back to Saul. So
now
Samuel comes back to Saul and says, what have you done? You know, God was really upset about that. He was like, man, like, he was hurt. He was hurt by that because he really did something for their people. And here he is, a leader, and he is choosing to be evil like this and to eat from the plate of evil. So at that moment, Saul loses his anointing. Please go and read it so you can get deeper into the word, okay? So Saul loses his anointing. Then I sit back and I say, okay, so when does Saul become Paul?
We all know about the story.
You should know about the story.
He has stature.
Of Saul going to Damascus to kill more people.
And
when
you start to understand
it, and it was like, Saul, why are you killing my people? What are you doing?
Then you start to voice of God in my head, right?
So now here he is sitting there in the road of Damascus. He's blinded for 3 days. They take him to a particular area. And at that point, he's being sent by a prophet who was going to come and give him back his eyesight. Everybody was intimidated by Saul because they were like, how is this evil man actually
self-discovery?
A man who's going to serve God. He's been killing us left and right. I don't want to go over there. Nobody wants to talk to him. So the prophet goes over there.
That would never
and he touches Saul. Saul gets his eyesight back. At that moment, Saul turns into Paul when his new vision came.
So now we understand that Paul
gives us
so
many profound books.
The reason why it's not heavy is because he cares
about what God wanted.
So when you're going in a wide road,
you are carrying
a very powerful way.
But we got to understand that in a weird way, Saul had two anointings.
He had the anointing when he was lucky.
And he had the anointing where
you're constantly tossing
chosen
all of your
to do it in a way.
On him.
And the second time,
you don't
he had
them.
The oil, it just means
he had the knowledge,
dump it back
but
on
he did
him.
Not have
so
the oil
in the same
so
capacity
power
in which
conviction
he had
and
was
focus in the world that
king.
You are in.
The reason why
I have come
I'm sharing this story
that
with
life
you
is definitely
not because you're in
more challenging
on a spiritual level than it is on a physical level.
If you do not know
that you have not paid,
the job you cannot get,
the house
you can
you
mistakenly
own, and the man that
you do not
oil,
have
absolutely
to do
no significance
by
what
the time
is
you go
in the
back
to
God
pleading
and I'm
for
starting
it,
to
it won't be the way that
he
gave it to you
to
the first time.
Understanding
my what
in
God has
period
called
of my life
to
as
do,
I continue to
position
walk in this
new
season
to be
honorable
those
with
of
the oil.
Who feel
there
a lot
are many
of
times that people get
oil
before
the oil
what is going
in their life.
In the life of David,
what
is God doing to me?
Why does
young shepherd
feel closed?
Why is everything
a challenge?
That oil
why am I always
facing
adversity?
Kingdom.
Why do
so
I
wake
submit
up
this to you
unhappy,
for your consideration?
And I'm telling
to understand
you,
that
you
could potentially
you
be having
are.
Oil that's already set
you
for you.
Do
oil already
know
in your head. Oil
you
on
are.
Its
and that's
way.
Okay.
And you don't know
because
who
when
you
we
are.
Came into this world,
you don't want
it was
to make
the responsibility
of Saul,
our parents
and just because you
us,
lucked up
but
and
you know
timing and opportunity
to tell us
you are. Boom, a blessing happens. And you're in this
to give us
kingship and
to give us generational understanding.
When actuality,
the people that we
now,
are born
how can
through
you
are not necessarily
are.
The people
the first
who have
thing
for
you to understand
us,
is that
who can even
you are
give
not
us
any
the best
that
opportunity
to understand
you were,
who we
you
are.
Are not what your
God
mother or your father
is
said.
Yahweh.
You're not what
he
your
is everything
said. You are not
even the career
be.
Or the
he
job
is constantly
that you do.
Making a way
you do
for
not
you
know
and being a provider.
I
had to sit back when I was in a conversation in Clubhouse.
So if you're a person who spends very limited time with God,
just understand your
why would I ever put
somebody else
my
body,
husband,
somebody else's
said,
life,
how
somebody
could
else's.
My husband
I don't know.
Ever compete
I don't even know who you are.
God
just operating
serve.
In someone else's
as
capacity.
I stand today,
not
I lack nothing
so
in
you
my life.
Feel
why
the
would
true
I want
power
my husband
God
to enter
to
into
be
my life?
You're
and
not
feel
jealous
because God is my provider.
To be,
that is
right?
One thing.
Number
God has
one,
always
you know
been
that
to
if you have not been spending enough time talking to God in a consecrated place
to take over that position
because that is what God does.
More truth, more knowledge, more gifts, more
so compassionately. Why would I want you to compete with experience that instead of saying,
you know what, I'm going to share with you what God is doing for me in my life, and you can add value to that kingdom.
Sometimes we get things wrong because we're trying to force understanding in the physical
set of power that God has,
that the way God thinks is not the way we think.
And we have to get a situation in front of us.
We are a question I propose the likeness
of him. Who are you?
And many of us spend so much time.
The first thing you have to do is write it down.
We write it down and say, I am this person, I am that good or bad, ugly.
On Clubhouse, just be honest so many with yourself.
And then when you're honestly with yourself, sitting and accepting
start reversing the words
instead
around.
Of understanding start that God has not called you around. To
you will start to see a different version of yourself
that God created
and not
are,
the one that the enemy has told you every single
you.
Day that
they
you are.
They seem like they won't
we
work.
Battle
you
go against and you pick up
because
tools,
our okay? flesh is
trust
so
me, a plumber cannot use a bow and natural to fix
that our spirit doesn't
it's
get
not
the space
happening.
To live
you have to understand
us. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys
your life.
So
number story
one,
really quickly
how much time
and I'm
going to
be very broad about this but I want you to read this in 1 Samuel
don't know what that answer is
then you know what the answer is
but just go ahead and read the whole thing take your time
okay everyone has to take time
in our last ride I talked
this
about
is a story
being
about
more
Saul.
Critical
so
of
Saul
ourselves
is sent to go look for donkeys
are
because
Chad
is waking up every day doing what God has
so he's
called
out there
do,
with one of his servants or one of
trying
his
our best
you know,
to press
people in the
glory.
Kingdom and they're out
today,
there looking
I'm
for
saying
these
to you
if he does not bring these donkeys
tell
back
me,
home
what are
he's
you going to
sacrifice
situations in the house
so he's like you know what are we going to do we can't find the donkeys let's just go home like forget about this like you know getting very frustrated
every servant said no
there's actually a seer there's a man
so
up here at this place
we
where we can
God
go and ask
next
him
the donkeys
are
at.
Those things
they go to that place that and they're like, hey, we're looking for our donkeys. We heard there's a guy here that can help us.
And that is when Samuel said, oh, no, come Saul, come Saul.
We've been waiting for you.
Don't worry, your donkeys
are okay, but I have something else to tell you. As a matter of fact,
you're going to need peace, wisdom, and a sound mind.
Saul is being anointed, okay?
He is not receiving oil in which he is going to
become
the king,
in a different way.
Now, Saul was a very interesting king because it wasn't that God wanted his people to have
yourself,
a king.
I'm not
they
here to convict
king.
Nobody.
There are two types of people
me,
in this world.
I kind of want
those who
to
are chosen and those
like
who
everybody
luck
else on
up
Instagram,
because of me just happened to be there.
Popping,
and
you know,
God is the God who supplies all
right
of our needs.
You know,
so when we cry out for things,
He actually
gives
it
to
us,
even if it isn't necessarily the way He wants it to be. If enough people cry out, He will listen.
Hence, I'm not making an expectation.
It doesn't always come the way that we want it to be.
Can't expect, but when
enough God cry out, He will show up. Okay,
so now Saul becomes the king.
And I sit back and I wonder,
a lot of
when did Saul lose his oil?
Like me,
Saul lost his oil when
he
became disobedient, when God told him to go and start a particular war. And
it told
him to make sure you burn everything, all the jewelry, all the materials, all the cows, all that good stuff.
But
the soldiers ended up
benefit
a portion
to parade
the goods
that I have and the things that I can afford.
They brought that back into their kingdom and started eating and feasting on the enemies
from God.
Feasting
I have
on
all
the enemies
appetite.
Okay,
made it.
Feasting on
I have
the
not
enemies
made it until I've died
food,
and God
feasting
said,
on the enemies
we did
jewels.
It.
And
we
it's strange
it.
That people can
until
have everything
happens,
they want
on the
and they still
journey.
Will go and
it's
eat
just
in the enemy's place.
Consistent.
It just doesn't really make sense sometimes.
And it's because
our flesh desires a multitude. That's why it's really important for us to have dominion because we can step out of the will of God for no good reason. How can you be an anointed king with power, control, and everything you want and you go and get
at least make
10 Lamborghinis
and
you own 50. It doesn't add up, but this is why I always say it's really
like
important that we
read
our word so we can be able
to
use it as a check system to our flesh
not
when we're getting
like
out of order. So back to Saul. So now Samuel comes back to Saul and says, what have you done? You know, God was really upset about that. He was like, man, like, he was hurt. He was hurt by that because he really did something for their people. And here he is, a leader, and he is choosing to be evil like this and to eat from the plate of evil. So at
that
moment, Saul loses his anointing. Please go and read it so you can get deeper into the word. Okay? So Saul loses his anointing. Then I sit back and I say, okay, so when does Saul become Paul? We all know about the story.
What are you going to sacrifice?
Of Saul going to Damascus
to
kill more people, and he was stopped and he was blinded, and it was like, Saul, why are
you
killing my people? What are you doing?
That's the voice of God in my head, right? So now here he is sitting there in the road to Damascus. He's blinded for 3 days. They take him to a particular area. And at that point, he's being sent by a prophet who is going to come and give him back his eyesight. Everybody was intimidated by Saul because they were like, how is this evil man actually a man who's going to serve God? He's been killing us left and right. I don't want to go over there. Nobody wants to talk to him. So the prophet goes over there and he touches Saul. Saul gets his eyesight back. At that moment, Saul turns into Saul when his new vision came. So now we understand that Paul has written so many profound books, made so many profound statements about what God wanted. And he began to preach the gospel in a very powerful way. But you got to understand that in a weird way, Saul had two anointings. He had the anointing when he was lucky, and he had the anointing where he was chosen to do it in a way. And the second time, he had the oil, he had the knowledge, but he did not have the oil in the same capacity in which he had it when he was Saul and he was a king. And the reason why I'm sharing this story with you is not because you're in the season of Paul, you're in the season of Saul. If you do not know who you are, if you do not know who you are, you can mistakenly use your oil to do evil and lose the oil. By the time you go back to God pleading for it, it won't be the way that he gave it to you the first time. Understanding what God has called you to do positions you to be honorable with the oil. There are many times that people get oil before the oil manifests in their life. In the life of David, he was given the oil as a young shepherd boy, but it took him a long time before that oil actually manifested into his kingdomship. So I submit this to you for your consideration, to understand that you could potentially be having oil that's already set for you, oil already in your head, oil on its way, but you don't know who you are.
Jesus thing, this whole God,
you don't want to make the mistakes of Saul, and just because you lucked up and, you know, timing and opportunity met, and here you are, boom, a blessing happens, and you're in this kingdomship, and you're a king, and you're so ill prepared because you don't know who you are. Now, how can you figure out who you are? The first thing for you to understand is that you are not anything that anyone told you you were. You are not what your mother or your father said. You're not what your siblings said. Heck, you are not even the career or the job that you do. You do not know who you are until you spend time with God and he reveals who you are. So if you're a person who spends very limited time with God, just understand you're operating in somebody else's body, somebody else's life, somebody else's, I don't know. I don't even know who you are. You're just operating in someone else's capacity. That's not yours. So you won't feel the true power of who God called you to be because you're not operating in who you're supposed to be, right? So number one, you know that if you have not been spending enough time talking to God in a consecrated place, if you don't wake up every day yearning and desiring for more truth, more knowledge, more gifts, more signs, more wonders, speaking in tongues, prophesying dreams, you don't know who you are. If you cannot do some of these things, if you cannot unlock some of these gifts, you don't know who you are. The power that God has, because we are created in his image and we have the Holy Spirit as a gift, we are able to move in the likeness of him. And many of us spend so much time asking for other people to pray for us. We spend so much time in church looking for a word, trying to find prophets on Clubhouse, Chat, so many different things happening, or just honestly sitting and accepting confusion instead of understanding that God has not called you to live in confusion and he's giving you tools and resources, but because you don't know who you are, those tools seem foreign to you. They seem like they won't work, and you go and you pick up other tools, okay? Trust me, a plumber cannot use a bow and arrow to fix your leak. It's not happening. You have to understand what tools are meant for you in your life. So number one, how much time are you spending with God? Ask yourself that. If you don't know what that answer is, then you know what the answer is. Number two, what have you sacrificed? In our last ride, I talked about us being more critical of ourselves in the sense of, are we really waking up every day and doing what God has called us to do, or at least falling forward and trying our best to press towards the glory? Today, I'm saying to you, tell me, what are you willing to sacrifice? And I hope it's everything. So many of us have made things that we want, our desires of our hearts, money, success, love, cars, everything you can imagine. We have made those desires of our hearts so important that sometimes we serve God with an expectation of getting those things instead of realizing that peace, favor, mercy, and a sound mind are more valuable than a house, a car, kids, and a dog, and a career. As a matter of fact, you're gonna need peace, wisdom, and a sound mind to be able to even receive those gifts, because they are also going to challenge you in a different way. So if you know that you are focused on very worldly things, be honest with yourself. I'm not here to convict nobody, because I know for me, I kind of want it to be like everybody else on Instagram, that black girl that's popping, you know, looking cute, saying all the right things, you know, fashionable and everything. And then I started to realize, like, I am those things, but those things are not me. People see them in me, but I'm not going to lead with those things because I'm not making it an expectation of my life. What you can expect from me is a word of God and a word of knowledge and a word of truth and a genuine conversation and love. Those things I can give. A lot of these people who look like me don't give the same thing as me, because I come from a humble, very vulnerable space and understanding that if it wasn't for the people around me, like you, encouraging me and believing in me, I wouldn't be who I am today. So it doesn't benefit me to parade the things that I have and the things that I can afford into anyone's face, because I don't want you to feel like you're more distant from God because I have all of these things and I've made it. I have not made it. I have not made it until I've died. And God says, we did it. We did it. Until that happens, I'm on the same journey. It's just that I'm staying consistent. And it's easier to get to point A to B when you're going straight than if you're going zigzag. Now, if you zig, 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 and you're a little Tasmanian devil, then you definitely gonna take a little bit longer to get there. But I want some portions of our path, if they can be, to be straight, so we can at least make up for some of the time and enjoy more peace and enjoy more covenant and enjoy more fellowship with people like us who want to come together and be everything and have everything, but to not feel like we have to sacrifice the gifts of God in order to have them. You do not have to sacrifice your peace for your purpose. Your purpose is your peace. Do you hear that? Your purpose is your peace. So I want to get back to the point that I was trying to say. What are you going to sacrifice? What are you going to sacrifice? Is it going to be that pain, that frustration, that fear? Is it going to be that career, that house, that dog, that relationship, that appetite, that wine? Don't play. I had to add that in for myself. Okay. What are you going to sacrifice and what are you going to give to God so that he can continue to use you and make room for your new gifts to come? If you get to the position in your life where you're able to have some of these signs and wonders gifts and be able to do miracles, oh my God, I'm telling you, you won't even care about a Lamborghini. You will drive your little Toyota with good comfort and good peace of mind because you know what you can do and the potential and of who you are and the power you have inside of you. Not because God is good now. Ain't no way you can have all these gifts and be broke, low down in the pits, unless it's a season of teaching. But typically, God will take care of you and the people around you will be so blessed by you that they will sow seeds into you and you won't be out here in these streets useless, okay? So don't ever think that your purpose and what God is doing for you is going to make you be hungry and starving and homeless. No, the sacrifices you're making are not sacrifices for you to have nothing. It's for you to have everything exceedingly and abundantly. You got to understand that. That's why I say it's important for you to understand who you are. So when you sacrifice things that you're not, you won't be so confused. Now, this last part I want to say when it comes to knowing who you are is, who are you around? Who are you around? It will be very, very difficult for you to stay on the path and on the course of where God is taking you if you're afraid to offend some of the people in your life in order for you to accept the new version of who you are. We allow other people's perceptions of who we are to make us stay in a space we know we're not called to be. And that's your fault. That's not their fault. That's your fault. It is not anyone else's responsibility to understand who God called you to be, but you, and for you to walk in the fullness of that, and they'll figure it out as it goes. And because we all got forgiveness, favor, and mercy, you will offer that to them so that they don't have so much distance from you and who you're becoming, unless they need that distance. But I'm telling you right now, please, 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 who are you around? Who are you allowing to infiltrate that person that is just quite frankly not supposed to exist? We sometimes try to tell ourselves, oh, this whole Jesus thing, this whole God thing is fake, but the darkness is real. People's lives are miserable. People are mentally going crazy at a rapid rate, okay? When I tell you, you can go outside and sniff evil, you actually can sniff it. And it don't smell like no Tom Ford, okay? You can see the way the enemy has really held us captive for so many years. And thank God he's coming to redeem us and giving us a revival. But I'm trying to get you to understand that as much as we are in a space of healing right now, a lot of things have happened that shouldn't have happened. A lot of things changed you. You are enough. You are special. You are important. You are chosen. You are desired. I mean, there is no sacrifice you have to make in your life other than sacrifice sin and darkness so you can walk in the light and the fullness of who you are. Because when the blood was shed on the cross for you, it was paid at a very expensive price. If you choose to walk around like a cheap pair of shoes, that's on you. I don't know if you need to go walking around your local mall and try on something expensive and look in the mirror and figure out who you are, but understand that a very expensive price was paid for you. And it's your decision whether you choose to operate in the glory of what that is or for you to shrink back and decide that you can't accept it. Acceptance is the key to you living the life that you want to live. I have fully accepted that I am loved. And I have also realized that people hate me because they want to love me. But because they don't know how to love me, they just rely on hating me. It's a very twisted thing, but it's understandable and it makes sense because I'm a good time to be around. And if you feel like, man, oh gosh, how come I just can't get around her? I want to spend time with her. Or she just seems she's having a good life. Her life is too perfect. Jealousy, envy, hate, all that good stuff is just because people love me. And they want to figure out how am I able to walk in my light, in my truth, and still be blessed by God. When you figure out who you are in God's eyes, you will unlock the true potential inside of you and you will walk in the peace that you deserve. Peace is a gift. It is a gift that God gives to you exceedingly and abundantly. I want to thank you so much for this ride. You know, I'm in Utah right now. So if you hear anything in the background that's like, chinga, 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 clink, 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 just know I am out here. Now, why did I come to Utah? Because I wanted to see the Salt Lake. Okay. I wanted to see the stones, but I did not know it was going to be so cold. So if you follow me on Instagram, then you'll probably see some of my super fun, cute videos or whatever. But I want you to know that I love you. I love you with all of my heart, and I thank you for just believing in me and for listening to these rides because I truly believe that people are being transformed by them. Now, like I said, I'm here for you. Please do not feel like my life is so busy that I don't have time for God's people. If you're riding with me, it's because I'm here to support you. So I love you so much. And I just pray that you have a phenomenal week coming up and a phenomenal weekend. Take care. Bye.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at Chatting with Charity.